the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Thank you, Steve. And it's been a joy since coming to Exeter just to be so welcomed. Steve wasn't here when we got here, but Clive was, and just the team welcoming us. And it's great. As Susie, our youth worker, works closely with John, and Kez, our kids worker, works really closely with Rachel. It's just fun and a great joy to be able to serve this city together. And we've thought much about Jesus already this morning. And there's a question I just want to ask us right at the beginning. And one of those honest questions that maybe I shouldn't ask it so often, but sometimes I do. The question is this all real? Is this like following Jesus, Christianity thing, really real? Because I think if we're honest, you need to have sometimes those moments of like interrogating what has happened and what Jesus has done to answer that question. Not as a cynicism or not as an attack on religion or faith or Christianity, a real human question. Does the gospel actually do anything? Is it alive? Is it changing things right now in Exeter in 2026? Or is the church just a community of lovely people gathered around a beautiful story? You're lovely people. And I feel like I can call you friends. But there's lots of community groups, people getting together for lots of stuff. What is the difference? And I want to give a resounding yes, that it is real, that it does change lives, even in 2026, as it did in around naught, 2,000 years ago or so. And the passage that we looked at, we've heard this morning in Acts, doesn't answer that question in theory. It answers it on the steps of a temple gate, out in the streets, on an ordinary afternoon with a man who has never walked a single step in his life. We heard that story. And so far in this series, acting it out, we've seen parts of Acts 1 and 2 already over the last few weeks, haven't we? The commission, the outpouring of the Spirit, the church born at Pentecost, and Peter, who couldn't hold his nerve by a fireside, suddenly preaching to thousands, and the church is alive. The Spirit is moving. And so now we're in Acts chapter 3. So what happens next? If you've got your Bibles, we're just going to go through Acts chapters 3 and 4. So just follow, and the scriptures are not going to come up on the screen. But just as we talk through it, let's have our Bibles open, whether it's on a phone or a paper Bible, so we can see and follow the narrative of the story. So in Acts 3, what happens next? And we heard this story told. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 p.m. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. No drama here in these opening words, not like the Mark drama. No drama, no strategy meeting, no mission initiative, an ordinary afternoon, and they're going to pray. An ordinary afternoon, and they're going to pray. Routine, habit, rhythm. Normal, everyday life. And at the gate, a man is being carried, lame from birth. Every day, someone brings him to this spot. Every day, he watches others walk past him. Every day, he asks for help just to survive. Just imagine, friends, the weariness of that existence. Dependent, overlooked, stuck. That's what it was like for him every day. And notice where he's placed. It says at the gate called Beautiful, right at the entrance to the place where people go to meet with God. Present at the very threshold of every single day, but unable to get across it because he couldn't walk. And Peter and John stop. Jesus' followers stop. Not because it's on the schedule, but because it's on the way and they see him. And Peter says something extraordinary. I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Friends, not a technique, not a formula, a name. A name. And the Spirit giving confidence to speak that name. And then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. Can you imagine it? He raised him up, and once his feet and ankles became strong, so he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the place that he couldn't enter before. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What an amazing thing has just happened for everyone who's walking past to see a man who has never walked leaping around. We take it for granted sometimes. He'd never walked. A man who had spent his whole life on the outside of worship, now inside, worshiping, praising God. Now with his own voice joining the praise. I love it. It's just an amazing picture of an ordinary day. And the people saw him walking and praising God. So the people are out there and they see what's happening. They saw him walking and praising God and they recognized him. That he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. Friends, what a beautiful deed. What a beautiful deed that Peter and John had just taken part in. A physical, undeniable, concrete act that blesses a human being in the most direct way possible. And it makes the whole city stop. What are the things that cause Exeter to stop? Apart from something happening on the M5. The whole city stops. And one of the great truths of this story is that signs and miracles are not the end point. They are the invitation. The raised eyebrow, the turned head. What's going on here? It's an invitation because the deed, the act, creates the audience. People sit up and listen. What's going on here? And friends, that still happens today. It does still happen today. People become curious about the gospel because they first encounter something of its effect. A kindness that they cannot explain. A peace in the middle of suffering. A community marked by grace. Or a community that is like a light on a hill. The act causes people to stop. You cause people to stop as they see God working in your life. Something visible, something tangible happens. And when that happens, someone needs to be ready to speak. Someone needs to be ready to say something. And so we see the deed, but we also see the word. Peter and John are like, why do you stare at us? Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power and godliness? Peter is taking the attention from himself and passing it to where it deserves. Don't look at us, look at Jesus. Look at God. Look at the one who has made this all possible. You see, friends, the church exists to point beyond itself. See, Grace Church doesn't exist to have a nice name, to look good, The moment we start building our own little kingdoms, it's almost like the beginning of the end. We're here to serve the kingdom of God, to serve Jesus' kingdom, to serve his ways. It's not our power. It's not our godliness. It's his name that makes the name that does it. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so then Peter sets inside the whole arc of God's promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the prophets. And he says, it all leads here. Every thread we threw through the Old Testament leads here. Every promise, every story leads here. It's not a new idea, but it's the resolution of this ancient story that the people of God would have heard. And then he says this bluntly in verse 15 to the people listening who've seen this miracle. He said, you killed the source of life. Ouch. But then he goes on, whom God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. You see, Jesus is alive. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus is at work. Not the source of life, not just a good teacher, not just a holy man, the source of life. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word said, let there be light. This is the one that they're looking to. Which means that everything that makes broken people whole, everything that lifts a man off the ground and sets them leaping, flows from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. See, Christianity is not primarily advice about how to live. It's news about what God has done in Jesus. And that changes everything. He's still at work today. And so what Peter does next, he calls the crowd to respond. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Seasons of refreshing, not just for forgiveness from the past, a new quality of life from the presence of God himself. And so what we see is that word and deed and word belong together. See, one of the things that Luke makes clear through this story is that the word and deed belong together. The church serves and speaks. It loves practically and proclaims boldly. It's what we get to do as God's people. I think we saw that during the holiday club at Easter. It's been mentioned a few times this morning. It's something that we as churches get to do together. What a privilege to see this building full of over 100 children, some of whom come from the community, don't know Jesus, and they're hearing about him. What a great privilege to be able to serve our city in that way. People serving children and families with joy and generosity, deed and word together. The holiday club's a perfect example. There'll be things that you do as a church that put deed and word together all the time. Different generations looked after, different ages and stages, different aspects in the community together. Visible love creating the space to speak about Jesus. That's what's brilliant about Joyfest. These little tokens. Dave Vinyl from the Vineyard Church did these, and he went, I'm a geek. So when you see something that looks cool, you think, I don't mind giving that out. It's quite easy to do. We went out, Steve might have said, we went out a couple of weeks ago with some bacon butties. I was with Clive and a guy called John, and we just gave some bacon butties to people and showed an act of kindness, and then gave them a card saying, we're just from the church. We just want to show people that we care. Who knows what God will do to that as they see kindness and hear kindness happening. You see, it's not strategy. It's the life of the kingdom. This was an ordinary day as they are walking to the temple. What's tomorrow's ordinary day going to look like for us, Belmont, as we go into our workplaces, into our community, taking this message of hope that we have? But there's always a but. I think there is. Because we're human. The thing is, it's easy to drift to one side or the other. Some churches become all proclamation. So we go out and just tell people about Jesus with very little visible compassion. Other churches can be all social action, but gradually lose confidence in speaking about Jesus himself. Luke doesn't let us choose in Acts. The healing of the man at the gate opens the door to Peter preaching, and the preaching makes clear where the healing comes from. It's all Jesus. It's all grace. It's all a gift that he's given us. And we get to be part of that. We get to join in with what he has for us. And the preaching shows that it's from Jesus. See, friends, you can't have one without the other. Or if you do, it's not the full picture. We're missing something. But holding word and deed together has never been easy. I've never found it easy. And almost immediately, Luke shows us why as we drop into Acts chapter 4. While they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them. The religious people confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. I think this is like outrageous. The religious people are like annoyed. And they say they stopped it. They arrested them. This is a little aside. Let's not get annoyed when stuff happens. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing my son's here today with me. He turns 18. Our young people have got great ideas. And they do love Jesus. And they are probably more connected to the world sometimes than we are. And I can get annoyed that sometimes they know better. Even though they know better about how to connect with their generation. I could just be like the Pharisees or the Sadducees and stop them. Let's not get annoyed. Let's get out of the way and let them take the church into the next stage of what God has for it. As they do act, indeed, they understand this actually, how compassion follows with truth. And so you see this. The religious people got annoyed and arrested them. And then they stand before the same council that sent Jesus to the cross. Can you believe that? And they ask, by what power or in what name have you done this? Notice what Luke tells us before Peter even opens his mouth. He says in verse 8, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not prepared, not planned, filled. God. There's a difference. There's not a clever rhetoric. This is the same Spirit who the Father and the Son poured out at Pentecost, now speaking through an ordinary fisherman before the most powerful court in Israel. Let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. Peter doesn't flinch. I flinched. You know when someone says what's happened, you're like, the man you condemned, God raised, and the power that has raised him just worked in this man's life. Friends, in our culture, those words can feel uncomfortable. But Peter is not trying to win an argument. He is bearing witness. Jesus alone can bring salvation. Jesus alone can change the life. Jesus alone can do that because he conquered sin and death. He is the crucified, risen Lord. We're going to take communion later, which reminds us that Jesus gave his body and spilled his blood so that we can have life. That's what these disciples are doing. They're just saying, this is who Jesus is. This is what he has done. Not religion, but resurrection. Not rules, a name. Not striving, a rescue. That's what he does. They had been with Jesus. And then so Luke gives this wonderful detail as we come in to finish. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. I long for people to see me, but not see me, but recognize that I've been with Jesus. Don't you? Don't you hope that this matters today? That when we come across people in the workplace or in the community, that people think, well, there's something different about them. Because we're a people who walk with Jesus, who know Jesus. And his glory somehow reflects through us to those around us. Not education, even though they're educated. Some are educated as a tax collector. Not training, not natural confidence, not just something for the extroverts. But proximity to Jesus changed everything for them. A life filled with the Spirit, that should encourage every one of us. The kingdom of God, friends, has always moved through ordinary people filled with the Spirit. People who quietly and faithfully bear witness in everyday life. Just being followers of Jesus. Proximity to him. In our homes. In our workplaces. In our conversations. In prayer. In love. Over the dinner table with your family. At the checkout. Some of us maybe this week might be doing the Joy Fest things and pay for someone's coffee in your favourite coffee shop. And they're like, what is going on? Just an ordinary day, being Christ-like, being like a light on a hill to those around us. The authorities threaten them, and Peter and John respond, we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen or heard. I hope that's true of me. I hope that's true of us. We can't just help talking about what we've seen. That's why we talk about the holiday club so much, because we saw something amazing. I saw something amazing. I saw our children from Grace Church, children from Belmont, children from other churches, children from no churches coming and hearing about Jesus. So that's why we talk about it. We were witnesses to it. Some of you were there helping. Thank you. We saw something, and now we want to talk about it. You see, we're unable to stop. Not defiant, but honest, just honest. That's what witnesses are. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Witnesses are just storytellers. People have seen something and say something. And friends, this is what happens when ordinary people like you and me encounter the risen Jesus. It's changed my life. It's changed my life. And I can't keep it in. Can we keep it in? We want to tell people about him. It's what we get to do. As we come to finish, I wonder if the band could just come up. That would be fantastic. Thanks, Chris. As we close, the challenge of this passage, this chunk of scripture, this encounter of the disciples, and this lame at the beginning of the story and not lame at the end of the story man gives us sort of a wonderfully simple challenge. And if it's okay, let me gently challenge you. Challenge us together. It's a simple invitation, really. The simple invitation is, will we be a people of deed and word? The gospel is profoundly simple, really. Will we be a people of deed and word? Not just deed and not just word, but deed and word together. All of us, each of us. Where we see the needs in the city around us, or in our families, or amongst our neighbours. Where we see a need. We talked earlier about the sort of the sense of like brokenness in society. Do we see the need around us and then serve with compassion? Not because we get anything out of it, but because God has changed our hearts. Rather than thinking, I have to serve, let's think we get to serve. We get to be the hands of Jesus himself to the city around us as people drive past, not aware that there is a Savior. We get to do that. But as well as seeing the needs, we get to speak of Jesus with confidence and humility. I want to encourage us, let's not just do, let's speak, let's say. at the right times. Not one or the other, but both together. And remember, what changed Peter and John was not that they were extraordinary people. It was an ordinary day. They were heading to the temple. This morning, you all got up and you came to the temple. You walked here today to church, to be with God's people, to see your friends, to worship Jesus, to hear some teaching, to look after our children, to remember what Jesus has done. That's what we did. An ordinary Sunday for us. Not an ordinary Sunday to many people who are like those who are sat at the beautiful gate, not in, not being able to take part in what God has done for them. An ordinary day with ordinary people who had been with an extraordinary Saviour, Jesus himself. That's the encouragement. That's my challenge to us today. Let's be a people who spend time with Jesus and help others, who do it because we're fueled by what Jesus has done in our lives, that he really has changed our life and our eternity. Even if the circumstances around us are hard or challenging, he has impacted our lives and given us hope. And help other people to encounter him both through our words and our deeds. When we share Jesus with others, he can change their lives, can't he, friends? So I'd like to pray. Let's pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this remarkable story that happened just around 2,000 years ago. We thank you for the encounter at the temple, at the beautiful gate that Peter and John just had on an ordinary day. We thank you for this man who is now recorded in history for us to read about, who started that day apart from you, who started that day far from you, but through some beautiful actions, some kindness, and some powerful words, left that day walking and rejoicing. Who left that day welcomed in to the family of God. And Lord, as we see that story, we also then see outside to our city. We see the thousands and thousands of people who don't know you. We see the thousands of people who are like the lame man, not in, as it were. And we ask, would you just give us compassion in our hearts? Would you give us a love for those who are not like us, who are different, who are far off, that we may show love and kindness, bring some joy, and that we may then have the boldness to tell them about you. Lord Jesus, I just ask, would you give us as a congregation this morning boldness to go and tell people about you? Boldness to share your love with those around us. Change our lives as you change that layman's life. Not so that we look good, but so the city around us is changed. So that our communities are changed. So that our schools are changed. So that this city is changed for your glory. We love you, Jesus. So grateful that we get to do this together in this city. We thank you that we get to serve as churches together in this city. Help us to continue to prefer one another, love one another, cheer each other on, celebrate with the joys, weep with the sadnesses. But we thank you that it's a great privilege that we get to be part of your plan and your purpose for us, Lord. Amen.
If you'd like to stand.